This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
I want to hear from adults who have direct experience working with our healthcare system. In this next session, we're going to hear from three leaders of the disability advocacy community. We're going to hear from Max Barrows, who's outreach director for Green Mountain Self-Advocates, a position he's held since 2007. He mentors youth and adults with developmental disabilities to speak up for themselves and become leaders. The Green Mountain Self-Advocates is a lead partner with the Self-Advocacy Resource and Technical Assistance Center. Max leads the technical assistance teams assisting local and state advocacy organizations across the nation. He connects with people on all levels, advocating for true inclusion of people with intellectual disabilities. In his work, he advances the message that when you meet an individual with a disability, presume competence. We're also going to hear from Mateo Teo Musso. He's an author, poet, artist, songwriter, and inspirational speaker with autism. He was silent until age 11 and a half, until his mom found a letterboard system. In just 3.5 years, Mateo has written 5 books, given over 75 presentations, stars in a YouTube vlog called Mondays with Mateo, all by pointing to one letter at a time on a letterboard as his mom transcribes or speaks his words. Mateo has deemed himself a voice for the silent ones. He and his mom are on a mission to change societal views on autism and special needs individuals who may not have their voice heard yet. And Elizabeth Grigsby is also joining us, who is the consumer rights advocate at Golden Gate Regional Center since 1995. She has cerebral palsy and she uses a motorized wheelchair. Max, can you start us off by talking about barriers, problems, and solutions?
I can. Hi, I am Max Barrows. I am the outreach director for Green Mountain Self-Advocates in Vermont. I describe myself as a Black autistic man. I am in my late 30s. I have short Black hair. I am wearing a white collar dress shirt and a dark black and purple tie. A recent study found that 80% of autistic people reported having difficulty visiting a healthcare professional. They have trouble deciding if symptoms require an office visit, difficulty calling to make appointments and communicating with their doctor. And they said they experienced sensory sensitivities in the waiting room. The good news is that these autistic adults offered some solutions. They reported a preference for booking appointments online or by text. They found it helpful to exchange emails about their symptoms before an appointment. And you can reduce our sensory overload if we have the first or last appointment of the day and a quiet place to wait. Now, the problems if we don't get regular access to healthcare are that our physical and mental health conditions go untreated. We miss out on screening programs. When we get treatment late, it leads to complications, and we risk for life-threatening conditions. We think of barriers and solutions as falling into several buckets. One bucket is provider training. For example, many pediatricians get trained on how to interact with children with disabilities, but not so much for adults with disabilities. And it is not just about what healthcare providers learn how to do, but who they learn it from. Who knows us better than we know ourselves? Training about how to interact with people with disabilities needs to include us. When you involve us as people with disabilities, the training is likely to be rich with examples, which learners often prefer over lectures. The second bucket is communication. In a healthcare setting, good communication prevents mistakes, builds relationships, and can lead to us getting better care and increase the likelihood that we will do what you recommend for treatment. The bottom line is that when doctors interact with me and other people with disabilities, their communication needs to be just as effective as when they are communicating with people without disabilities. That means using plain language. I have a fantasy about installing jargon buster alarms in medical offices. Anytime someone uses big words from like the medical field, there would be a gentle reminder to use plain language. A more realistic solution is to ask new patients about the way they communicate when they are sharing their medical history. For example, Alex is one of my colleagues. He stutters. He shared that it is common for people to just answer for him. Alex just needs to answer. He just needs times to answer. He needs longer medical appointments. Here are a few more, you know, communication solutions. Often information is just shared verbally. We need instructions written down in plain language. Follow-up phone calls can give us a chance to ask questions that we thought of or, you know, thought of after we, you know, went to the doctors. Let us record the appointment so we can remember what was said. Excuse me. Sometimes we may bring a parent or staff person with us to help us remember what was said or remind us what we want to say. But remember to talk to us directly. Do not talk to our supporters. And take a close look at your office routines and think about accessibility. For example, can we fill out forms before our appointment? During an appointment, there are different people who check you in, who examine you, who check you out. If we need to remember what we are told or pass on information, it can help to have written reminders. The third bucket involves the ADA or Americans with Disabilities Act. Many disability organizations can help out by working with you to do an accessible audit of your office space and equipment. For example, Marge uses a wheelchair. Her clinic does not have an accessible scale. Marge goes to the veterinarian's office to be weighed because it is the only accessible scale in town. This is humiliating. It is hard for her to stay motivated to lose weight. In addition to scales, many clinics do not have accessible equipment that can accommodate people with mobility issues, like an exam table that lowers. Many people have outdated ideas about what it means to have a disability. For example, a national survey of doctors found 82% said people with disabilities have a lower quality of life. For me and many other people with disabilities, that is not true. I have a great quality of life. I have been given opportunities and the accommodations I need to live a great life in my own way. But unfortunately, ableism is still alive and well here in 2024. We people with disabilities are frequently seen by healthcare providers who make assumptions about what we can and cannot do. When they find out that I am autistic, they might assume that I will never get married, or that I work a basic job, or that I never get to travel. This often influences what kinds of questions or information they give me. And as your experience has already taught you, it is well worth the time to directly involve me in making decisions about my health. When I am supported to be in control of decisions about my life, I get better results. I am healthier. And the fourth bucket is social determinants of health. People with disabilities face all the typical risk factors, and we face additional risk factors such as, you know, most people with disabilities don't drive. Many of us are pretty isolated and don't have friends. Most people with intellectual disabilities are very poor. They rely on SSI benefits, which are less than $1,000 a month. It is hard to pay for co-pays and medicine. Higher rates of mental health issues. For example, a CDC study reported that adults with disabilities report frequent mental distress 5 times more often than people without disabilities. And fewer, if any, states provide free dental care. Thanks for listening to my brief overview of barriers, problems, and solutions. I want to end by saying that how we define the concept of wellness is important. Wellness is not eliminating sickness or the absence of disability. Wellness is positive health. It is made up of physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, mental health, social health, whatever we are employed, or whether, excuse me, we are employed in a job that we enjoy.
Thank you, Max. Those are really important insights that you've gathered over decades of work in the field, and I've learned so much from you, and I really appreciate it. Teo, let's hear from you.
Hi.
Everyone, I am happy to be here.
So that's how Mateo communicates. If you've never seen someone using a letter board, the rest of the presentation we'll be reading and sharing the reading just because of time. So he did this ahead of time. These are all Mateo's words.
I'd like to begin by stating that personally, the medical, dental, and optical care I have received has been amazing.
My doctors have all been supportive and caring, but I must say that Mom isn't afraid of walking out of the exam room or changing doctors if she feels that that's the appropriate thing to do to get me proper medical care. She has done it once with a psychiatrist that didn't seem to know anything about autism and its challenges.
I don't know how much education in medical school is devoted to learning about autism, but if you're saying in your head, not much, then we need to change that for your well-being and ours.
With 7 million autistic people in the United States, 1/3 of them being non-speaking, that is about 2.3 million non-speakers who will be needing medical care at some point in their lives. How will you be able to give them quality medical care when our society depends so heavily on the spoken word for communication?
Here are some ways my non-speaking colleagues and I have come up with.
Some of the challenges we face regarding our medical needs may surprise you. So I've listed a few here, along with the ideas that can help us feel more comfortable and thus work better with you during the exam or in an emergency. Slide, please. Next.
please refer to us as non-speaking rather than non-verbal people.
Non-verbal creates a bias toward our intelligence, suggesting that we do not understand language at all. Our challenge does not lie in understanding language, but rather in using it in speech. Slide.
We understand everything you say to us.
The ability to speak does not correlate with the ability to understand. Slide.
We are always listening.
Even if our bodies are doing their own thing. Some examples, flapping our hands, moving around in some way, our eyes not being focused on you, or making sounds. Slide.
Anxiety in medical settings can happen easily.
Elements of the exam room may intimidate us. For example, unknown equipment.
Solution idea.
Mention what some of them are and how they're used. Bright fluorescent lights.
Solution idea.
Turn the lights off if possible or dim them in the exam room. The white coat of power.
Solution idea.
My pediatrician always took his coat off and I could see him as just a guy in a starched Oxford shirt there to help me, as opposed to a doctor who was going to do something to me that might hurt.
Yeah.
Sitting apart from mom or a caregiver can be scary in new places.
Solution idea.
Let us begin the exam in a chair with mom or the caregiver or next to her. Then invite us to the exam table. Slide.
We are people craving responsibility, predictability. It is incredible value to us. Solution idea.
Please speak to us and let us know what's going to happen in advance every step of the way. Even the smallest touch, feeling, or sound made by a piece of equipment can startle us and throw us into protection mode. For example, the blood pressure cuff. Explain how it works and how it feels prior to using it on us. Slide.
We communicate our plan differently. Communicate our pain differently.
We feel pain differently than most people, or we may not even feel pain that most people feel. For example, my friend Sam had a huge seizure and fell. The paramedics examined him and determined nothing was wrong because he wasn't showing enough pain. 3 days later, he was taken to the ER and the doctor's exam revealed that his shoulders were out of their sockets and shattered. The doctor said that his pain must have been excruciating. When he was with the paramedics, he was shaking, and his mom said that was from pain, but the paramedics ignored her. They believed that since he wasn't screaming in pain, nothing was dislocated. Sam was not expressing pain in a typical way, and the paramedics were not listening to his mom. They were only understanding one way of communication. Slide.
Solution idea.
Listen to the parent and caregiver. Please ask them for their ideas and opinions because they know us the best.
Solution idea.
If we're seeing you for a possible injury, please consider giving us pain medication right away, even if we aren't screaming in pain. For example, Sam has been taken to the ER multiple times for his dislocated shoulders, and doctors wouldn't give him pain medicine because, again, he was not screaming enough. His mom had to insist on the needed medication. Slide.
Respect all forms of communication and be curious.
Non-speakers may have other ways to communicate that you may never have been exposed to. Letterboarding, facilitated communication, iPad or computer, sign language, bodily actions, and facial expressions. Slide.
Beware, please.
Even those of us with the ability to say words may or may not be able to communicate our thoughts succinctly to you, or we may say answers that are unreliable. I used to say yes to everything, even if I didn't want it or it wasn't true. It was just the easiest thing to say. If your patient uses a letterboard to communicate but also says words, trust the letterboard, because that is the true thought. Often words can just fly out of our mouths without permission. We can have impulsive speech that interrupts our true thoughts. Slide.
Rushing around and being frantic can make us nervous and anxious.
Our spelling takes time and can be really tough to do in front of a new person, especially if we're in pain or don't feel good.
Solution idea.
Schedule extra time for our exams and please be patient as we spell. Slide.
Use patient portals.
This gives us time to gather our thoughts in advance and in between appointments. Slide.
Visuals are always helpful when you are explaining something to us, solution idea.
Showing a diagram or picture and then touching that spot on our body that correlates may help us organize what we feel in our bodies. Slide.
Viewer of guessing assertively.
I know it can be difficult to know how best to help us if we don't have a reliable method of communicating. So please err on the side of caution, then gradually increase whatever it is you're proposing. My friend Sasha had an optometrist who guessed at her prescription because she couldn't reliably read the eye chart. Sasha's verbal answers during the exam suggested to the doctor that she needed a -6 prescription in her glasses. She got home and threw the glasses on the floor. After learning to communicate with the letterboard, she breezed through the exam and had perfect eyesight. The doctor and all involved were thrilled to see her communicate with her letterboard. Slide.
Please describe the situation we find ourselves in together.
In an emergency situation, for example, if paramedics show up at my house, it's imperative that they say, or I'm told, that they're on my side and there to help me. If paramedics and firefighters just start by telling me this, it is so helpful and eases some anxiety, especially since it would be an emergency situation if they were called, which is already stressful. Slide.
Have your energy exude a sense of calm?
I know it can be difficult if you're behind schedule or uncomfortable around us, but unfortunately, we can sniff out your discomfort or your anxiety in an instant. Because so many of us are empaths, we may mirror your energy. Slide.
Our bodies may do things on their own without instruction from our brains.
Our brain-body connection is often challenged. Please forgive us if we seem uncooperative, hyper, unable to do what you ask with our bodies, or make undesirable physical actions or movements. Many, if not all of these, may be out of our control. Slide.
The medical industry must find a way to provide for our needs without all the extra expenses that our parents must bear to get us proper care.
My parents had to pay $8,000 of their own money to get my wisdom teeth out because I need to be put under general anesthesia for all dental procedures, including cavities. They also pay for my psychiatrist with their own money because the one I was assigned to through our healthcare insurance plan knew nothing about autism. And then in conclusion.
Thanks for your time and attention. Everyone deserves treatment as if they're the only patient in the world.
He just said everyone deserves to be treated as if they're the only patient in the world. Don't know if you could hear that. That may sound daunting or impossible, given the stress and difficult situation in which you may find yourself while treating a patient, especially a non-speaking one who may have a medical mystery and cannot communicate in a typical way to help you understand what's happening. But just take a deep breath and know how much your patience, understanding, and true desire to help shines as a bright beacon of love to us.
We can sense your true intentions, and when they're all pure desire to help us, that is the best message we could receive from you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tao. Those were very important insights, especially about how words and movements might not be intentional, even if they seem that way. I think that was a really important point you made. Liz, can we turn to you now to learn more about physical barriers?
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Quimby. Hi, everyone. My name is Elizabeth. And yes, I live with cerebral palsy from birth. And I'm honored to say I love coming to this conference every year and speaking to you. because I want you to understand. Just because some of us were born with disabilities, it can happen to you too. The longer you live, the more possibility is you're gonna become a person that has some type of physical disability. So get on board, people, because it's your turn next. I've been a patient at UC Hospital for many years now, and I have a wonderful nurse practitioner who I communicate with every time I need medical attention. She's great, but the equipment in the office is not great. I can't stand. I don't walk and I don't bear weight. So I know you guys have warrior lifts in the office or the hospitals. Yay. But you know what? It's not so yay. Because if your staff doesn't know how to operate a Hoyer lift, it's useless. Why isn't staff trained on how to use a Hoyer lift? It's very essential that people like myself be able to get on the exam table to have a proper exam. And if we can't even get the Hoyer lift, anybody to help you with it, then I can't get examined. And that's something wrong with that picture. And I was listening to the doctor before we came on, and he asked what was some of the barriers in the system is broken. It is broken. Something's definitely wrong with it. I can't even get a proper mammogram. You know why? Because the equipment that they use is not suitable for somebody in a wheelchair who can't even get close enough to have to do the test. So again. What is wrong with this? Yes, the system is broken. And if we don't fix it now, the older you people get, the more you're gonna have disabilities. And I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm saying that because it's real. And if it might be scary to you guys, you might say, oh, it'll never happen to me. I'm not gonna become disabled. I'm a doctor. But let me tell you, you're human and you're gonna get older. So you better start trying to find a solution to this right now, because your time is coming where you're gonna need this help. And it's hopefully when you get older and have some sort of experience with the disability, hopefully they have better equipment for you than they do now. Because it's a shame. I love UCSF. I think it's the best hospital. And I've been to a lot of hospitals, but yeah, we need to do better for people with disabilities.
We certainly do. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. And I think your point that having the equipment is necessary, but it's not enough, because people also need to know how to use it and how to use it safely. And that's a step that often doesn't happen. We buy the equipment, we think it's done, and that's not the case. That's a wonderful insight. We do have some questions. Max, one question that I think you could answer particularly well is, can you talk a little bit about barriers to accessing sexual health?
I can. So our society continues to send a strong message that we are not capable. It ties into the false idea that people with disabilities are not able to do a lot of the things for ourselves like adults. It casts a shadow over our desires to date, get married, and have kids. When it comes to sexuality, people with disabilities have not really had the same opportunities and freedoms as people without disabilities. More education is needed. We are often excluded from sex ed classes in high school. This doesn't make a lot of sense, since people with disabilities are more likely to be sexually abused. When we are in your office, you need to ask us the same questions as you ask patients without disabilities, but respect our privacy. Now, often we may have a parent or supporter with us during an appointment, and we may not feel comfortable talking about sex in front of our supporters. And like any other procedure that involves touching us, prepare us to provide accommodations for things like a pap smear or STI, sexually transmitted infection testing. Now, sexuality is a topic that is a source of anxiety for many people. You should know that we may be reluctant to disclose abuse because healthcare providers are mandated reporters. It is hard for us to deal with all the fallout that comes with reporting abuse. bottom line, when it comes to sexuality, we want to know about being sexual, how to be safe and healthy. We want to have relationships.
Thank you, Max. That's very important information. I really appreciate it. Teo, I saw you communicate in a variety of different ways. I saw you read. We heard your mother read words that you prepared in advance. We saw you use the letter board. I've also seen you type. When people have seen you communicate in a way that's more familiar to them, like reading or having a parent read, they can sometimes assume, like, say, oh, well, I want you to do that all the time. I don't want to, you know, take the time to wait for the letter board, or, you know, I think that this is the right way to communicate, or something like that. How would you, number one, does that make sense? If you have all these different ways of communicating, should you just communicate in the way that's comfortable for the doctor, or are there reasons why you might choose one way of communicating over another?
W, E, well, it, E, 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 N, D, it depends, I, if, Y, O, U, W, A, and wants, T, H, the, T, R, U, T. Well, it depends if you want the truth. Right? Or the info at all. Depends if you want the truth or info at all. I can.
Oh my God.
S-P-E-A, what?
Okay.
I can speak. But that's, say it, you say it.
B.
Can.
E. Because. Letter board.
I can speak, but that's because of the letter board. It.
Yeah. Slow. My brain.
It slows my brain down. So words can, first letter?
Yes.
Okay. Find, you say it.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Out of my
mouth.
I use the letter board because it slows my brain down so words can find their way out of my mouth.
Thank you. That's very important, because I don't think everybody understands the neurology. So you're explaining it to us is super helpful. And finally, Liz, before our break, quickly, you work for the regional center, and I'm wondering if people are having difficulty with accessing healthcare, are there any resources at the regional center that might help?
Yeah, I do work at the regional center, and you can ask your people, can ask their social worker for help, and to find the right doctor for the individual, because we are all different and our needs are different. But one thing about autism and cerebral palsy, yeah, our bodies sometimes both have a mind of their own. So we might have a spasm and not be able to loosen our arm when we need to take a blood pressure or have blood drawn. Some people really need to be patient and understand where we're coming from. And I know it's not all taught in textbooks. When you go to school, it's a lifelong journey. But yeah, people can ask their social worker for resources to help them find a good doctor and hospital that works for you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.